All right, so let's start. I hope Cole is still with us.
Yeah, he's very much there.
He's still there. Yeah. So we've been discussing the sugya Marva with Chavila. So somebody tell us about the machlokas Rishonim between Rashi and Tosos about Mike Ovid. What's the basic machlokas between the Rishonim? Yeah, Selter.
If the first guy who started the fire, if that had enough to do the damage by itself, and the second guy, Mike Ovid, didn't do anything, so Rashi says he would be completely puter, only the first guy would be chayev.
Yeah, so the first person's action is sufficient condition for causing the resultant nezek.
Right.
And the second guy does the same thing or contributes to it in some way.
Right. So Rashi says, second guy is pater, only the first guy is chayev. Tosafot would say, no, it's just that there's an equal chiyuv for everyone.
Yeah, they split liability. So one way we wanted to explain that is that maybe there's a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosos about what are the conditions that make you liable for nezek. According to Rashi, you have to be the actual cause. And in this case, arguably, the first person who lit the fire and created the sufficient conditions, he's the mazik, he's the cause. And maybe according to Tosos, you don't have to be the cause, but it's sufficient that you participate in the nezek. Right? So the second person also contributes, he's Marva B'Chavila, and so they split liability between them. Now, how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin in Siman Tafid Ches Sif Yud? So he paskins like the Amuke Yosef, who follows Rashi. So here's Amuke Yosef's formulation. Iyu Maikavit, Timachayvi Lei, V'Hachi Hilchasa, V'Kol Heicha Develo Ihu Loa Mizrar Klal, Hu Chayiv. If the Nezek would not have resulted without him, he's liable, right? Because he pushed the nezek over the top. The chulam pturim. Kol heicha didalav yihu habimitvar harishonim chayavim va'achron pater. Mikan nuchalumo de kol shar pshios keyote b'zeh. So had the nezek have resulted without his contribution, then he's pater, and the people who contributed or caused the nezek to happen, they're liable. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins and Siman Taf Yud Ches. So What's the reason why the second guy is pater if the conditions that created by the first people were sufficient to create the nezek? What's the reason for the pater of the sheni? Isaac, you want to tell us?
Just to repeat it.
Well,
it doesn't repeat what we just said.
Not to repeat. So you want to say it's also about this? You're not the cause or something.
Isn't it the same sheikah?
Well,
isn't it the same sheikah?
Yeah. So I want to get a little more fine grained in the analysis.
Okay.
So
I would have said,
well, you just said you're not the cause. That's the sufficient explanation.
Right.
Okay, so the question is, the Achronim try to address this question directly, and the question is whether they're giving the same answer that we're giving, or they're saying something different.
What question is that about? What's the start of Rashi?
Yeah, for Rashi, the Mugi Yosef, and the Shulchan Aruch. Like, why is it that, so the first person created the conditions of, let's say, the fire burning down the home,
yeah,
and the second person also contributes in a way that was sufficient for the fire to burn down the home, but he's pater because he was preempted by somebody else. Right? So the question is, why is the second guy pater merely because he's preempted on Rashi's reading?
And this is distinct from our earlier discussion about causality. This is like specifically a question about like Shia.
No, so Isaac's saying, well, it's the same issue, which is the question of who's the cause, and maybe if your action is preempted by somebody else's, then you're not the cause of the nezek. Right? That's Isaac, that's what you're saying, right? That's Isaac's point.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's say that we showed him, you would not take it for granted that this is the same question as we saw before, like multiple people commit nezek together. Like the Bachor Kazali discussion we had earlier.
So yeah, so this is that discussion. This is exactly
the same discussion.
Yeah, it's exactly that discussion. So you just wanted to get into a more fine-grained analysis as to what makes you chayv. So the Ktsos is troubled by our Gemara and by the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. And how does the Ktsos conceive of the p'tur of the sheni? What's the reason, according to the Ktsos, why the second person is pater? Yes, Elter.
Mana tvira tavar.
Yeah, mana tvira tavar. And the idea is that the second guy broke something that was already broken. Now, for the Ktsos, this creates a whole range of problems. But on the face of it, do you think this is the right interpretation of the Gemara? That the reason why the second guy is pater is because of mana tvira tavar? And is that the same idea that Isaac was talking about earlier? Isaac, you can answer that.
I would think it is.
You think it is?
Yeah.
So what is manatvira tavar? What's the p'tur there? So what's the case?
Drop something off a roof and then has its fallen or smashing it in.
Yes, that's the case in the Gemara in Yud Zayin, which is passed by the Shulchan Aruch also and by the Rambam. So that's the case over here in Yud Zayin. Amar Rava, Zara Kli Mirosh Agag, Bo Afer B'Shaber B'Makal Pater. So I throw a Kli off a roof, and Selter comes and swings a baseball bat at it and destroys it. Selter's Pater, Damina Le Mana Tavira Tavar. So Selter broke something which is already broken. Now the Ketzos assumes that the reason for the p'tur in our sugya is because of mana tvira tavar. The second person who contributed to the fire, he broke something which was already broken. So, Leah, what were you saying? Do you think that's the p'tur in our sugya?
I would not have intuitively thought that, but I guess that the chiddush that we're just going for here is, I mean, generally speaking, the Tzura Tavar sort of makes an assumption that the Mesha Nezek is the moment we care about, not necessarily the completion of it. And okay. I guess the Ksos Chiddush here is the same thing that's true of Eish, even though it's like there's a lot of steps that have to come in between the creation of the fire and the actual burning.
Yeah.
So once the guy creates the fire, even if it's going to be a while before it burns it down, once somebody else adds to the Eish, it doesn't matter. The guy already burned down the house by creating the fire.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're saying, look, there are some empirical assumptions here that the way the fire meets the object is similar to the case of gravity pulling it down to the ground.
Yeah, right? I guess it's not empirical. Yeah, the timeline is different. And like
it's more complicated
and
process.
It's more of a process than one isolated mesa.
But you're fine saying that conceptually the basis of the p'tur is mana tvira tavar. Meaning, assuming you could generalize from the case of mana tvira on Yud Zayin to our case.
I mean, there's a lot of mechalik. Like, for example, the case of Yud Zayin, like, it's a law of gravity that thing is going to break.
Right.
Whereas here, like, there's a ton of factors that determine how fire.
Right. That's what I'm calling the empirical.
Yeah.
But you agree that conceptually, meaning assuming you can get over those obstacles,
then
mana tvira tavar explains what's going on in our sugya. That
it could, yeah. I think mana tvira tavar could, once you get past the practical empirical obstacles,
What do you mean by Arsugna? Which case are you talking
about? So, Marva L'Chavila, Chamisha Shiyashu L'Safsal.
Right, that's confusing.
Okay, but we can just talk about Marva L'Chavila now.
Yeah.
So just take Marva L'Chavila.
We're still talking just about Stam Gizem.
Yeah, Marva L'Chavila. Okay. Take that as our case. But you'll see the Rishonim apply it indiscriminately to Chamisha Shiyashu L'Safsal also, to the five people sitting on the bench case.
I was thinking the Monitor Tower case just sounds like it's automatic. It will happen. It's almost like a secretia type thing. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But in the case of the Marva Chavila, it's grumma after
grumma. That's what Leah, I think that's what Leah's getting at, right? There are too many stages removed between the... So it's more of a stretch to say that the Marva Chavila case is if the house is already destroyed because the fire across the street that's threatening it.
Yeah.
Right? That's your...
I think also, like, just like...
That's what Leah's getting at.
It's not going to
get there.
That's true with all age.
But
everything you light a fire, like, it hasn't yet, like, done anything yet. Like, it's just going to be blown by the wind, and it's going to spread.
Yeah, so you're saying you may not apply mana tvira tavar to age in the same way.
Also, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, your relationship to the nezek that happens in terms of what you do in the case of lighting a second fire with the first fire there is the same as smashing the thing that has fallen to the ground when it's already gone.
Except when you smash it, it's an other mother. So it's not really a question of how it relates to the question of, like, you should be shaking that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them like on like a conceptual point of me being a guy and smashing something.
Okay, yeah, we'll see some of that discussion. Yeah. But so far it seems like everybody's advocating still that the basis of the p'tur hasheni in our sugya is mana tvira tavar. Right, which is in line with what the Ketzos is saying.
Is the question you're trying to get at now is there a conceptual difference between saying that there's multiple causes and like the question of causality versus saying mana tvira tavar?
Yeah, or more accurately I think. Is there a difference between saying I'm pater because I broke something that was already broken versus saying that I'm pater because I'm not the mazik?
Okay.
Right, I'm not the cause of the nezek, or I didn't create any nezek, I didn't breach my duty. Right, so to be more precise, I'll distinguish between these in a second. But Don, you want to say something?
I was a little confused because in the case of throwing off the roof, we're trying to say the second guy is pater, right?
Correct. Because none of you are Tatar.
Yeah, but the thing is, in our case, the second guy is the one who's going to be Chai, no matter what. Everyone agrees that.
No, the point is, in our case, that according to the Shulchan Aruch and Rabbi Yosef and Rashi, if the actions of the first guy were sufficient to cause the Nezek,
the second guy's
Tatar.
Okay, sorry.
Let me just run that back for you then. So you can just take the Nuka Yosef, who has one of the best formulations. Kol Hecha Divilav Ihu Hava Mitvar. Are we shown in Chayav Rabah from Tatar? And that seems to be the Pesach of Shulchan Aruch here in Tefi Ches, right?
Okay.
In Yesh B'masa Asha Harishon Kedei Shetagiel Amakum Shalcha Harishon Chayav V'yam La Harishon Chater Rabah from Chayav.
Okay, sorry, just mixed that up.
Okay. Selter, you want to...
No, it just seemed like a lot of what we were discussing before. Was like, how seriously do we take this comparison between Eish and Chitzim?
Yeah.
Is it really exactly like a chitz in that?
We haven't even spoken about chitzim, though.
What?
We haven't even spoken about chitzim yet.
Right.
Let's get to Tosafot first, talking about chitzim. So, yes.
Can you explain what else would be the basis for Manatira Tava?
The basis for Manatira Tava or Arsigya?
No, Manatira Tava. I mean, you're saying that's the reason for the tour there is not because it's not because you're not considered a Matik. It's not something else.
Yeah.
What is that?
So it's not my fetish. I think this is what all the Achronim are getting at. I'm slightly suspect of whether the distinction is tenable, but I think what they have in mind surely is that Manatvir Tavar, you could think of it as. Do you want to answer that question?
Yeah, I mean, like if I have like a record and that's broken in half and you break it into like 100 pieces, you're an Isaac, but you broke something that's already broken.
Yeah, or the way I think that's right, and I'll say even further that. You're a mazik, but the value of your nezek is zero.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like you're a mazik, but there's no compensation for you to pay because this thing already had a value of zero.
But you still an active force, destructive force against somebody else's property, and the result of that.
So it's like, yes, I destroyed. So Liard throws the record or whatever. He throws the glass vase over the roof, and I swing a bat at it and shatter it. I'm mazik it, but what's the market value of a vase that's about to shatter on the ground?
Have you violated the guy's rights?
So that's, I think it's an open question. I think it's a good question whether there's an isser in that case.
Okay.
Right? I think that's a good nafkamina even, right? You might.
It's ridiculous, but okay.
What's ridiculous?
That you would have violated the guy's rights in that case.
It's ridiculous that?
You would have violated that guy's rights.
I mean, it's clear to you that you did not.
Yeah.
Even though you shattered his vase.
Right.
Thank you. You want to say something to Isaac? Or?
Like, once your stuff's broken, you don't think that I should be right to someone who hasn't smashed it a couple more times with a baseball bat?
Change material?
It's still a violation of your rights. You took something that's 4 pieces and you got 100 pieces.
First of all, you might argue that 4 pieces and 100. The case that you're getting 4 pieces and 100 pieces might be like different objects.
So, like, okay, what were you going to say? You wanted to respond to that? Or?
No, to agree with Isaac.
You're not to agree with Isaac. That. There's no nezek in that case. There's no isser in that case either. Cole, what are you going to say?
It's absurd.
Which is absurd?
Of course there's an isser.
Another riot to me.
the isser, the same as you violated your thief Shmira, because, I mean, you've done more than that. You've aggressed because the isser is about hostility with other people's stuff. Just because they can't claim compensation, I think what Itamar said was correct. Just because you can't claim, the fact that you can't claim compensation has to do with somebody else.
Right, but I think Isaac's claiming that the principle of Manatvira Tava is more than just an inability to claim compensation. Right, Isaac? You're claiming that maybe it's this idea that you didn't cause the harm, or although in that case it's much less likely you didn't cause the harm because your bad is actually what destroyed the flying vase, right?
Manatvira Tava, I assume, the basis is that in like all the very closest possible worlds, this thing breaks because the guy threw it, broke it. So we assign liability to him. That doesn't mean you're allowed to act with hostility. That's a second person obligation, not something that has.
No, but I tend to agree with Cole on this that. What Manatvira Tavar seems like a much more limited principle, right? Look, even look at the principle, right? Tavar, right? Manatvira Tavar, you broke a destroyed kli, right? The point is not that you didn't break it.
right?
It's
that.
You
don't think it's a good deal, right? Yes,
no.
You did break it, so you caused it to be destroyed.
No, it's
but it had no value. It's monetary.
It's like if it's the same reason we don't hold you 5 misa for killing somebody who's like actively dying, right?
We do.
I'm really confused about the fact that you wouldn't be shy of anything if you broke a rope. A cleave is no longer a cleave, it can't hold anything, right? Halachically? Let's just say broken. It's broken. It's no longer a cleave. Maybe that's what broken means. It took me 5 minutes and a tiny bit of super glue to fix a broken plate that I accidentally broke. Whatever. If someone had come and shattered it even more with a hammer, it would not have been fixable unless I had to kill them. So breaking something that's already broken is very much unhelpful, and it's very bad for the bowel.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could simplify our case by saying that the shattering that would have been caused by this, it's the same degree of shattering, right?
Same degree of shattering.
Right, so as Cole and David Lewis would put it, right, so it's like, in all closest possible worlds, where it breaks on the sidewalk, it breaks in the same way, or to the same degree that it was smacked, that it broke by the baseball bat.
Can we talk, is this discussion relevant at all? Because this is all like a discussion of monosphere cover, and whether like that principle is the same as this principle.
Right.
Right, I mean, whether there is a difference between... But
so
way,
the Kassos thinks it's the same principle.
Okay, fine. But either way, the principle in this sugya seems to be very obvious that it's about whether you cause damage or not. Even if you want to say that monotheria thought or some other principle...
I don't think it's so obvious that our sugya is really about whether you cause damage. I mean, I think the Kassos' whole point is to deny that, right? The Kassos' whole point is that our sugya just is an application of Yitzayin and monotheria thought.
Right, because he thinks that you're not a mazik there.
Does he think that, or does the Kassos think that you're just putter? All you see from our sugya is that you're putter. Right? Mike Ovid, meaning you're lenient chiyuva.
You don't even think the Kassos is a sheet of thing that has what monotheria cover is.
Correct. So. Correct. Other than that, that's the rule which explains dafiyut.
So then, I'm just confused when you said all the Akhbarim point to a distinction between our case and that case.
Right.
In what sense that distinction exists? If the Kassos thinks that this is just the case where you are monotheist, but you're not always monotheist.
So, because they're disagreeing with the Kassos, right? So, the reason, let's get Zolti, and then I'll say why, the motivation for disregarding the Kassos. Zolti. Or Yakir, unless you also had a point, then you go after Zolti. So Zolti, you go, and then Yakir will decide. If
can you distinguish between cases where, like, the Tavra Tavra, you're breaking an object, as opposed to Marva Kavila, where you're hurting someone? So maybe there's no concept of, like, a broken person.
Yeah,
Marv
is heavily not, you're not hurting a person, you're destroying his property.
Right, but there's also cases, where you're like hurting.
Yeah, but those cases don't arise in Daf Yud, right? These are all cases of harm done to, whatever the destination is, which is usually, I think that Rishonim here all talk about property. So I don't think that's a salient distinction here. Wow. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Akir, you want to?
Yeah. Might be a little bit of a tangent, but at the same time as you're saying that a monotheria tavra might be more limited because the person is considered a mazik.
Yeah.
As opposed to our case, there might also be another sense in which that comes out.
Again, I don't have a strong view on this. I'm just explaining to Isaac why logically it's possible to distinguish monotheria tavra from.
Right. But the flip side of that is that the monotheria tavra seems to assume that it's there are two separate acts of nezek going on here. That there's the first one throwing it off, and the second person
right.
baseball bat. So the second person might not even be a participant in the first nezek.
Is he a participant in any nezek?
You might say he is the sole participant and cause of nezek number two, which has zero value.
Right.
I thought
that's the way I'm reading it. Right. He's
so, okay, but you're saying, meaning that comes out of the hula in terms of his relationship to the first cousin, that he wouldn't even consider him a participant.
In whatever the first guy did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but he's a full participant in the nezek that he actually
right.
caused, right? So right, he would not split, I think that's right, he wouldn't split liability with the first guy in any scenario. Right, he's nothing to do with the first guy's mice of tossing it off the roof. But he's a full mazik with respect to the actual shattering, just the value of his actual nezek is zero. That's the...
That would be the finish in our case, because Arbel Hevel does seem to be
But it's not necessarily not.
So,
it's not clear, right? Not if you assume that.
But you think that's what it's just saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the kind of what you get from the Mukha Yosef Rashi reading with the second guy. Mike Ovid means he can do anything at all.
Right. So there's not a question of pause. It's a question of participation.
You might say that. Yeah. So the reason. So why? What's the problem with the Ketosis reading? Let me just point out where the Ketosis says this, though. So he talks about this idea of that you can be chayiv kavana tefira tavor even in a case where so he has machlokes between Tosos and the Rush. So who knows what the machlokes Tosos and the Rush is about kavana tefira tavor? So Yoni, you.
Yeah, I think that the machlokes is whether there's a distinction between Azari Kli and Azari.
Exactly, 100%. So the Gemara gives us the case of Zorei Klimi Rosh Agag. There the Gemara applies Mana Tvira Tavar. Toso says this distinction does not apply to Zorei Kheis, right? Meaning if I throw an arrow at the glass vase, then the vase is not considered to be Mana Tvira Tavar. Maybe that's getting at the idea that Liad was pointing out, that there are too many stages removed, and the point that I think also Ellie was making. But the point is that Tosafot thinks you can't apply the principle of Mana Tevira Tavar to a case where your Zorei Kheis, which is threatening the Kli, only applies when the Kli itself is thrown. And Tosafot says this distinction is very logical, right? So our Shuti Hilachali means Zorei Gevin and Zorei Kli Asma. Now the Ketzos thinks the Rush disagrees, and more importantly, the Ketzos thinks that the Tur and Shulchan Aruch disagree, and his proof is from our Sugya. So you can see in this line, the Ketzos points to our sugya to prove that the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch disagree with Tosfos. That we apply Mana Tevira Tavar even when it's a chetz being launched at the Devar HaNizak. Okay? Which shows you that the Ketzos thinks that our sugya itself is a function of Mana Tevira Tavar. And then he asks this question, how can Tosos make sense of the sugya on Daf Yud? And he has this very dachuk answer here. Okay? So there's just a few paros to point out within the Ketzos' position that it's strange that the Ketzos tries to reconcile Tosos Tamid Zayin with the Sugya on Daf Yud, because the question is only according to Rashi's reading of our Sugya, because Rashi thinks that the Sheni is Pata Legamri, but Tosos thinks that they split liability better than our Sugya. So you might think that this question never really gets off the ground, even according to Tosos' position. Tosos himself suggests an answer, though. And he says, maybe there's a distinction to be drawn between a case where one person throws a chetz, and then a second person breaks it via dayim. So it makes sense to hold the person who breaks it via dayim liable. And a case where one person throws a chetz, and then someone else follows up by also throwing a chetz. So maybe in that case it makes sense to hold the first person liable, because they're both like equally throwing a chitzim at it. But if one person initially throws a chitz and then somebody else is shavar b'yadayim, maybe it makes sense to shift liability to the shavar b'yadayim. I think Tosafot ultimately rejects that, but that's like one suggestion he has to try to explain how Tosafot on b'yadayim may read our sugya. Okay, so much for the Tosafot suggestion. The Achronim are very intent on answering the Tosafot's kasha. How would Tosfos, who rejects the application of Mana Tevira Tavar to Chitzim, answer the Sugya Daf Yud? So here's what they say. But Noah, do you have a comment first?
Yeah, Shwan, could you explain again what the Rashi's Svara is for why Zorei Kheis would be Chayav? And also,
the Rashi's Svara that didn't.
Yeah, what's the Rashi's
Svara? Who disagrees with Tosfos?
What's the Svara? And also, What's the issue that the Ketzos raises that's problematic for Tosfos? Why is understanding of Zorei Kheis being Pater doesn't make sense? What's the
What's the issue that the Ketos raises?
What's the issue that the Ketos raises with Ketos votes Shita?
He just thinks that it's gonna, they're not going to have a good way of answering the Sugya Daf Yud.
Okay.
Because the reason why the second guy is Pater according to the Ketos is because of Mana Tvira Tavar.
Okay, so he's using our... Okay, so our Sugya is the challenge to Ketos understanding Mana Tvira.
Correct. Because our case is a case of fires, right?
Mm-hmm.
So fires are like Chitzim. Not a case where the Kli itself that's about to be destroyed is being propelled through the air. So, the Achronim here...
The Tosos means they share liability.
Well?
The Tosos means they share liability.
Right.
Then I don't get the question.
What's his kasha?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I just pointed out, that it's strange that the Tosos thinks this is a question for Tosos. It's really only a question of Mishita's Rashi.
Right.
Now, you still might say it's a question for Tosos, Sutter.
Right, can you say that?
You shouldn't split liability.
As in, it should only be the Achron.
Right. Or it should... Right, it should only be the Achron.
Right.
Something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true in the case of our case?
According to Tosfos, seemingly, I shoot an arrow, but you go ahead and not viz, so you're fine.
I shoot a second arrow, and it's simultaneously.
Right. It's our case, it's simultaneity, which also...
Right, so that's the hook that he suggests.
This thing.
Right, and Atchilot. Ah, there's a difference between Atzarek Chayt Sheni. I mean, it doesn't bring up the simultaneity.
I think Isaac's right, though, that maybe you could explain Tosa's position just by the reason why Tosa says split liability is because ultimately the fire gets there at the same time on the Sugya Daf Yud. So there's no real preemption. And it's only when there's real preemption that one person alone should be Chayt.
Right.
But I think it is strange. I think it is strange that the Ketos thinks it's a real question for. Because it's only Tosis' view on Yud Zayin combined with Rashi and Daf Yud. And I think, yeah, according to Tosis himself on Daf Yud, you don't really have much of an issue. But it's he's right that logically there's an issue. If the explanation of our Sugya is Mana Tvira Tavar, and Tosis is right about Mana Tvira Tavar, it doesn't apply to Chitzin, then you have a problem. So the Achronim here all offer an interesting approach. And they make the following argument. So the Ibn Azel in Beis Yud Dalet offers one answer. And he initially says that this has to do with the halacha in Esho Mishum Mamono. So our sugya is Esho Mishum Mamono. He says, we hold Esho Mishum Mamono. Sorry, he says, even if you hold Esho Mishum Chitza, it's Eino Chetz Mamish, and Igar Din Esh Hu Mishum Mamono. So he's saying, no matter what you hold about Esh, it's really a kind of mamono. And he says, therefore, we have to figure out, so he thinks that if you have a pre-existing fire, let's say, and it's already considered my mamon, it's my fire, and then Isaac contributes to it, he's just contributing to my fire. And so the reason why, let's say, the second actor here, Isaac, is putter, is because I'm considered to be the Baal HaMamon of the Yesh, which caused the Nezek. So you might say almost, how do you characterize the Ibn Azel's explanation here? Right, so you think it's not Mana Tvira Tavar.
Your contribution is small enough.
What's that?
I mean, they can only, if your fire is like a tiny little spark and he turns it to an enormous conflagration, presumably... You're right. This is the point that the Bali Tosfos make. About how it's lost Dafka Mamon. I mean, that's a classic case where the Mamon analysis is going to get you the wrong result.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Okay. It's not clear what the Ibn Azel wants to say in that case. He may hold that. Look.
Doesn't it have to be substantial though? Because it needs to be that your fire.
Right. That was sufficient. Right.
So it can't be somewhat.
Yeah. Cole, do you hear Donnie's answer? Donnie's saying, look, on any scenario, the first person's fire had to have been sufficient to cause the nezek.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
If the Ibn Azel holds that, then I have no...
Yeah, I think that's implicit in the sugya. And so, that's my fire, and anything that's added to the fire is just contributing to my fire. That's why it's Mishum Mamono.
Yeah,
well,
that's not Mishum, but that is Kedei Lahazik. Oh, no.
Was
sufficient, right?
The first thing that's gone.
Correct. And I think it's implicit. That's clearly a significant consolation, right?
The mamono aspect.
Yeah. So he's throwing in the mamono aspect here to say that, well, once it's mine, it's very hard to shift bilus on the fire. So once there's my bilus on the fire, I'm going to be fully liable and somebody else won't pull away liability from me. That's the first answer the Avanazil gives. So the basis of the Ptur Hasheni here is not because of Manatvira Tavar, it's because of some trick in Hilchos Esho Mishum Mamono. Right? That it just remains my fire because it's considered to be my mamono.
Why is it a trick? Why not just say that this is the same thing? Like, this is causation. Why is it your fire? But like you're the one that caused the damage. Like, that's what you mean.
Well, because he doesn't say anything about that you're the it seems like he thinks this is due to something special about it being Esho Mishum Mamono. Right? And we just have reasons for assuming that the first actor is the Bailam al Aish. Does that answer your question, Isaac?
I mean, I agree that it tends for.
You're right, he does say over here, Vilachim. He says, Vilachim. Kivan to Harishon Asa Eshe Chul Agil Bakma Nezek, Velachin Ein Sham Ein Shem Hasheni Al Hamazek, Ki Harishon Gamar Kol Hamazek. But it's like this block that the second guy's name can't be assigned to the fire. It's like the first guy's, it's like property rights are exclusive or something. So once it's my fire, the second guy can't get his name onto the fire.
Yeah, so you're speaking about like very like formal terms about like whose fire it is and whatever. Like, why not just say like those are reducible to the question of like who's causing them?
It could be. It's, I'm saying Avanazil himself doesn't seem to be thinking in those terms, and that's why he puts so much emphasis on Esho Mishum Mamono. That's my sense.
Right. I think that kind of undermines a lot of what we've done the whole year. I think a lot of people think about things in very formal terms, and we've kind of like, been trying to explain some sort of like underlying rationale for it. Sense.
The reason why I'm resistant to do that is just because the other Achronim are much more explicit about it. So I don't want to give the Avanazil credit for what seems to be saying something different from what the other Achronim are saying explicitly. That's the.
So the Avanazil can never find Motadet Tiratava and Motamazit. Because there he thinks whatever his question Motamazit is just a separate question of who owns the number of Motamazit.
Right. The reason for the Ptur Hasheni is because. It's not, he had nothing to do with this, it's not his fire. Right? That's why the second guy's potter. Not because the house that got destroyed was already destroyed.
This isn't a discussion in Shonen, whether it's fine with the Tira Tavra and the Mamazik. I feel like it should be.
Well, I don't know if he's excluding it from all cases of Mamazik.
Seems like it should, no?
Ish might be special. Like,
right. He's just saying that, look, the reason in this case why your putter is not because of Manatvira Tavar. I don't know if he thinks it can't be because of Manatvira Tavar. He's just saying it's not. It has to do with the fact that the second actor didn't get his name on the fire, and liability for fires has to do with having your name on it. All right, so he's not saying that you couldn't apply the Manatvira Tavar. He's just running with the Tosos question. He's working with Tosos. That doesn't apply to cases where the Kli itself.
So if I made a second fire that in the middle of its path joined with the first fire, then that would be a fundamental, conceptually different case.
Yeah, that's a good nafkamina, right? So the Gemara's case is where the Rishon creates a fire and the second guy is Marib Bechavila into the first guy's fire. Now it sounds, and this is Liad's point, yeah, I think it's a good R, that if the second guy created his own fire, and it just got there after the first guy's fire got there. It sounds like, according to the Avanazil, the second guy may be chayav, right? Because there's no, like, can't get in his name, ain't shame hasheni al hamazik. Is that what you're getting at, Leo?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah?
Well, they don't combine at all? Like, just...
Well, suppose they even combine midway, right? So one starts here, and then they come together, and they hit the house.
Well, wouldn't it still be the... Well...
So suppose this fire was sufficient to cause... Suppose at time T1, this fire is lit, and it's sufficient to burn down the house.
Yeah.
At time T2, a later point, a second fire is lit.
I think it might be different when they're combined. If the, the second one goes to the house independently,
yeah,
then that's your own H. I get that.
Right.
If they,
once it combines,
once
then
it combines,
it becomes the H. Shel Harisha.
Yeah, because I don't know. That's just my
intuition.
Or if you don't know whose it is.
No, but like it's the first. I don't know.
It's possible. I mean, Aaliyah, I don't know. Do you have strong thoughts on this? I mean,
I don't really. My point was just that. I was trying to make the point that, like, it seems evidential that they have this category of, like, violence and insect that's, like, very ill-defined. Really,
but I think that's very helpful in distinguishing it from what Isaac's trying to push us into, which is that this is about the, you're not the mazik, or I think you're right to point out that this is a much more narrow halacha in, you know, who's the bialim on the ish, right?
Yeah.
That's the...
Like, a little bit, though, begs the question as to why it's not the Mamma Mazik. Like, the relationship between the Mazik and the Mamma that is Mazik.
Well, it's because it's your fire, right? So.
If you think the reason you're fired from Mamma Mazik is because it's yours, for sure. There's a lot of sense to say the only relevant question is who has the status of the Mamma Mazik.
Well, I just gave you more fire in this case, right? I just. That seems to be what he has in mind.
Yeah. For sure, though, as I'm saying, if your conception of Mamanazi doesn't rely so heavily on just mere ownership, then you'd have a lot harder time given the start of the
Mamanazi. Right. That's fair. Yeah. So let's look at the clearer answers. So, Rav Shimon Shkop in his Chidushim and Baba Kama Simi Yechas. So he runs with the Ketzos HaChoshen, and he quotes his question, and he says, the reason why the second guy is pater in our case is not because of the reason that the Ketzos gave, of Man of Tzvira Tavar, or the way he characterizes it, Tikvar Chashivin Kilu Nase HaHezek. It's not because we consider the Nezek already to have been done. Ela Delo Chashiv Keose Mazik. Kivan Delo Chidesh Bimazik, Koach Lahazik, Dikvar Hayabo Koach Lahazik. So, what do you think his position is? So it's not because of Manatvir Tavar Kilu Nasik, not because the Kli is already broken, but because he's not considered to be Oseh the Mazik, he didn't create a Mazik, and the reason why he didn't create a Mazik is because he wasn't Mechadish but Mazik Koach LaHazik. So what do you think he's getting at here? Or?
About the cause and the result.
Yeah, I think this is, so you think it's about... meaning I didn't cause anything new, right? I didn't contribute or I didn't cause any harm because a sufficient cause was already in place. That what do you I think that's right. I think that's what he's getting at. And then he says in this in the next paragraph, Vilo Dami Labor Yudaboakar Vishlimo Lakhaf. Where there, remember, everyone's chayiv, unless you take that Rashi's everyone later on, but according to everybody else. Tehasam Akshav Nase HaHezek B'toch boro shel hasheni, the harisha nasa maisa hanafila. So here's where it gets a little creative, right? So he's saying, look, if the reason for the p'tur in the marav b'chavila case is because you weren't oseh amazik, lo nasa hahezik, sorry, lo chashuk oseh amazik, well then why in the bor yud v'shimu le'esrim is the second guy chayiv? Right, it's a good question. So what's his answer?
In Bor is about falling. The impact.
Okay, and?
The impact happened? At 20.
At 20.
That means that everyone in the middle is putter.
What?
The thing that everyone in the middle is putter.
Well, he says the Rishon was on the Maisa and Akira.
10, 20,
30.
Yeah, the guy that dug the middle.
That's a good point. So Isaac's saying, well, if the point here is really that the Rishon does the Nefila, the second guy does the Nezet, then what about in the Yud Chaf Lamed case? So the middle guy should be Pater, right?
Gemara equals to the
side. I think Mar says that all three are
five.
Maybe,
you could say it's not about impact. You could say it's me, Yishim Hevel.
There's Hevel in the second.
Hevel
solves all board problems.
Hevel is a
Casey
Timson
against
the next, you know.
Right.
But wouldn't be Borsha?
I thought you'd say maybe there's something Nefila, like something Nefila is done by the. But I don't know, I mean, this is...
Well, if a person tips into the board, if they don't have long enough time, then they can't necessarily fall head first. And they might fall on their side, which is much less lethal.
Right, so you're saying it like allows them to accelerate or something? Or
not, well, accelerate
his body
also,
posture changes.
I mean, someone can much more easily jump down, like, land safely in 10 truck, and then they can 40 truck and 50 truck.
Maybe.
I don't think we distinguish between those.
What?
Yeah,
I 40.
Yeah, we don't.
Why isn't it the same?
Why isn't it
similar
to say, like, you know, the first one in college caught
a positive? Right.
Like, maybe the first one could have caught it. Like, there's
I think you're right. I think he overshoots, right? He doesn't have to say that the second guy's contribution is that the Nezek happened in the Boar shell Hashini. He doesn't have to say that. I should say each Boar creates, like, an added Koach Lahazik. But I think it's what Yoni is saying. Right.
No, I was just saying that.
You know, that's your point, right? Each boar creates like greater koach lahazik for whatever reason, right? Because
yeah,
if it's
that's
just
what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm not so confident about it, but that's what I'm saying.
Right. So it's like the first hand allow the fall to happen, and like, you know, each as you get deeper, it gets more complicated for you to land safely. Yeah, but I think Isaac's right that this is it's a little unnecessary. But you see, for him, he has a clear distinction in mind between kilunase hahezek, which is monotheratavar. I notice, I think that formulation is maybe different from my formulation. That he thinks that it's, my point is that it's as if the thing is valueless. And he's saying it's as if the damage already happened. That's the Ketosis reading. And that's in contrast to the idea that you're liable for being osa mazik. Right? So in one case, you're not a mazik. In the other case, it's kvar nasa ha-hezek. That's the distinction between the two principles for him. I think he's coming for. I think Ellie's right that he's basically saying you didn't cause the nezek. That's what he's trying to get at with lo nasa hamazek. Does that sound right to you guys? Yeah. Back here.
What about a case in which it's not such a clean nothing, but what about a case in which you? Which the second guy was Mechadish caused the Hazik, but not relative to that particular. I mean, let's say there's the first guy lights the fire here, and there's something here that the fire is going to reach, and something further on the fire is not going to reach. And
right.
The fourth reaches the first item, second raises Marv with Habila such that he's Mechadish caught, but the fire never reached the second item. He's already the first item.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't call him the cause of the hezek.
But he's certainly most of the koach lahazik.
Yeah, he is osa mazik, and then he's most of the koach lahazik. So that might distinguish between those two formulations.
Yeah. Meaning between his own two formulations. Is that what you're saying?
Between our formulation of being positive and his formulation of being Mechadish
Koach. When you think for him being Mechadish Koach may be sufficient to hold him liable for all the Nezek?
Yeah.
Even though it didn't actually cause the Nezek.
Yeah, because somehow he seems to be focusing on the status of being Mazik, being H, and not on the status of, not under the causal relationship between the.
Except that the last formulation here by the Lo Dummy says, that's what I meant. So it sounds like in this thing he's trying to get into more into like the actual physically, like which boar caused the nezek.
Right.
Whereas in the first formulation, he seems to have this more abstract idea about did you add something to the mazik? Right. So but I think you're right that you could pry these formulations apart. That's a good nafkamina. So Chazanish has a different formulation here to distinguish the cases. So he quotes the Ketosis question, and he says, "V'lav kushehi." So dehacha kisheshivar b'makol batale zrikas achetz v'achetz lo shiver v'lo hishtateh b'shviras haklal v'hilkach afron chayev. So he's commenting on Yitzayim. That's the hacha. Aval hosif chavila lo mana as ha'esh harishon lahazik, ha'esh harishon gamar es ha'hezik, ela shato sefes hishtatev gamkein b'shas ha'hezik, uvizeh aminon delav midiyavah. So what do you think the Chazanish is getting at here? It's out there.
This is different than the second answer, which is that, like, if she's just a misayeya, Misayim Bamamish. But at the end of the day, the first guy is still doing the Hezek.
So what's the distinction, though, between Tosus' principle on Yud Zayin and our case on Daf Yud?
Because there you're stopping when you're one Shiber B'makel, so the original Chetz is totally done for.
Okay, so...
And it's not doing it.
So one second.
Does he agree with the Tosus' principle that our Sega is Mitamana Shira Tavar?
No.
I thought he thinks our case is mana tvira tavar, but Tosos' reason for not applying mana tvira tavar in the case of a chetz is why. So remember that case, one person shoots an arrow at the glass vase. And then somebody else takes a bat and preemptively destroys it. He preempts the arrow from hitting it. So the Chazanish is saying, in that case, you can't apply mana tvira tavar because there's something about the physical act of destructing a shvira b'makol, which is nevatel to the zrikas achetz. It's like a... And ultimately, the chetz was not mishtateh b'shvira sakli klal. And that's a reason to assign liability to the Achron. But in the Marv B'Chavila case, it's not the case that there's any reason to take away liability from the chetz which was threatening it. You see what he's saying? No? So he's saying the principle of mana tvira tavar usually applies. Toso says, it doesn't apply in a case where a physical Maisa Nezek preempts a chetz that's threatening it. But in the case of Marba Chavila, there's no physical Maisa Nezek that overrides the threat of a chetz. Right? After all, lo mana es ha'eshel harishon lahazik, v'ha'esh harishon gamar es ha'hezik. So ultimately, what happened in our case of Arba Chavila, the chetz, the first fire, is actually what physically caused the harm at the end of the day. So why in Tosus' case of the chetz does mana tvira tavar not apply? The chetz did not actually cause the harm in the end of the day. Right? So he thinks that mana tvira tavar applies certainly when the thing which was going to create the tvira actually caused the tvira in the end. The only reason why it doesn't apply in Tosa's case is because something other than the chetz actually caused the nezek. Gandhi, you want to say something?
What about the Ghana case? It never touched the ground.
The paradigmatic case.
Yeah, doesn't that apply in the face of that? Like, unless you want to say, like, gravity is the thing that's destroying it, or, like, so that's acting on it, but...
So remember, that's a case, though, where the kli itself is in motion. Right? So when the Dabar HaNizak itself is in motion, so then we'll say mana tvira tavar, even if something other than the original Maisa Nezek caused it to be destroyed.
It has to be.
But then within Tosus' distinction, when it's a chetz threatening it, we'll still say mana tvira tavar if the chetz itself ultimately causes the Nezek.
So if I throw a kli, even though it's not going to be destroyed...
By your throw.
Yeah, and then someone shoots a chetz. So wait, if someone shoots a chetz, it's moving, and then someone else punches it or whatever, then you're still going to say...
Give me the case again.
Yeah, then it's not the chetz isn't doing it.
It's
right.
Not the chetz.
Meaning, well, a sufficient condition for applying mana tvira tavar to a chetz is if the chetz itself causes the nezek.
Chetz itself, okay.
And the reason why Tosos thinks we don't apply mana tvira tavar to a chetz is when something other than the chetz actually causes the nezek.
So you're saying by it falling, even though the guy takes a whack at it, by falling is still being...
Manatvira Tavar.
Yeah.
Because there the Devar Hamizak itself is the motion.
Okay.
That's the Chazanation. You're right, maybe it's not so intuitive, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not clear why that should make a difference. Mm-hmm. But he's saying, at least within Tosis is distinct. Within Tosis is a principle. There's a difference between when the Chetz ultimately causes the Nezek, in which case we can say Manatvira Tavar, and when something other than the Chetz causes the Nezek, in which case we can't say. So he agrees with the Ksos's answer that our Sugya and Daf Yud is mitam manatvira tavar. He just has a clever solution for why Tosis' principle would not apply in this case, namely that the chetz, the fire, actually caused the nezek. Ben,
if Reuben shoots an arrow and then Shimon catches the arrow and then shoots it himself, and that arrow, same arrow, hits it, that would mean that the second guy is not liable at all because it's the same arrow. It's destroying.
Okay, so if someone shoots an arrow.
Yeah. Someone else intercepts the arrow and then shoots it at the object. Himself.
With the same arrow.
Wouldn't that be the
yeah, I don't think that's a different
mindset.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's a different mindset.
That's the equivalent of taking away the fire. Like,
correct.
Putting out the fire.
Correct.
And making a new
yeah, that's my sense. Now, let me just point out, I don't think I asked this question. My Chazanish is a little worried because I was saying, well, if this principle is right, why don't we say mana tavira tavar in the case of the three boros on top of each other? The Bor Yud and Vashini Vishimo Lazarin. Why don't we say Mana Tvira Tabar? So there's a Bor Yud that's there. The ox is walking. So remember, the ox itself is in motion, right? I guess when it falls. So why don't we say Mana Tvira Tabar such that the guy who digs La Esrim should be Pater because his boar acted on an already dead boar. His boar acted on a shore that was already dead. That's the Chazanish's worry at the bottom here. So he says, Cole, are you talking to us?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so talk. Tell us where you're at. Let me just take Isaac's comment first. Wait, let me just take Isaac's comment first, then we'll get to you, Cole.
Yeah,
I'm way more fascinated than what Cole said today.
Got it.
Okay. I mean, I'm not even sure if that has it, but, like, trying to move away from, like, these formal distinctions that we're raising, between, like, phylos and, like, fades and, like, what the clea is moving and the fates is moving and all those things. Like, is there something that underlies, like, all of that? And also, I guess...
For the Chazanish?
In general. The Chazanish, from the shop, I mean, any of these, the Amarazo, and also, like, we presented one...
Chazanish is very different from the Eben Azel and the Rav Shimon Shkaf, right?
I honestly don't know.
Well,
I mean, yeah, he appeals to some different formal distinction than me, but like,
So the Rav Shimon Shkup is talking, and he thinks the Mechayev is mitam mazik, and the Chazanish thinks the issue in our sugya is mana tvira tavar, right? The reason to patra the sheni.
Yeah, I got that there are like different Hebrew terms flying around, but okay, we appeal for like one explanation now, like that this stuff is all about causality. Is there, like, a different compelling explanation for any of this? Or is it just, like, that? Or, like, these, like, arbitrary formal categories?
You talking about within the Chazanish, or...?
Within it, the whole sugya.
The Manatvir Tabar?
Why would you not want to say it's causality? Through whatever formal process you arrive at who the cause is, what are you going to say is we're holding you accountable for, or we're making you chayav? What is the motivating chayav, or the what's going on?
So we're less interested in the
so what? Like, why isn't it just you're the cause? What is it appealing to?
Yeah, so I think that's right. I think for Shimon Shkup, the Mechayev is causation. I think that's what it means to be the Baal HaMazik.
Okay, fine. But for someone
that's right. Well?
For the Neza, for the Chazanish, for appealing to these formal categories, like who's the Baal HaMazik? And we're rejecting the intuitive idea that causality should be the reason to hold someone liable for damage. then why? What are we appealing to that is more preferential to us in the situation than causality?
So I guess I think the Aben Ezel is slightly different. The Aben Ezel would say, whatever the Mechayev from Maman HaMazik is, that's the Mechayev for him. I don't know if you need causation. I think it's no question whether you need causation for Maman HaMazik, but he thinks that it's the Mechayev is Esho Mishum Mamono.
I understand, you're just begging the question then of like, what is Mechayev for Maman HaMazik, which is...
It's not begging the question, it's just leaving that question open. Right, so maybe it's...
it's not. So we're deciding whether, for me, the question that I'm also like, should we make the second guy's age also or not?
Right.
Like, he decides, no, we're not, and we're going to call it the first guy's age. He's going to be like the shady
right.
Mazik all up.
Right.
Like, what's that based on? Like, what's that, like, that decision to consider just the first guy's fire is, like, question begging. Like, what underlies that?
I wouldn't say it's question begging. I think it's just a question of... you might say there are just formal considerations as to who owned fires. You may argue that there's a different principle here that we individuate fires out of some concerns of Mizikin, but I mean that's not obvious, right? That's just that's a question of how what does it mean to be the Baalei Manesh?
Mizikin,
right? But I don't know that it's all about determining causes. And that's certainly not how the Aben Ezel seems to present his view. Does that answer your question? Or?
I mean, I guess so. Your reason is that, yeah.
I don't think...
Things, but like
they're not formal things. There are standards other than just about who's the cause of the Aben Ezel.
Right, okay, so I'm just asking, like, what are those considerations?
So for the Aben Ezel, it's about, you know, who's the Baal Eish, right? Who has shame is on the fire.
Okay, what determines who the Baal Eish my name is even?
Maybe whoever lit it first. Right? Whoever had the first key of Shmir on it. Why is that not a sufficient... Why is that question begging?
It's not. I'm just saying, like, I think that, like, that question needs to be explored. Okay, so if you're saying that it's, like, whoever lit it first, then, like, we need to explore that out. Like,
yeah.
It's just, like, whoever, like, acted first in the Zikin, like, is always, like, held liable.
No, I mean, we can. I think that's more of a... I think that gets us... That's going to get us into H questions. Right, it doesn't get us into like local questions, like the way the Shimon Yehuda has it about who the cause is. Now I think the Chaznish is falling back into the Ketzos, and he's saying the Mechayev in our Suga is Mana Tvira Tavar, that the Chepes HaNizak is already destroyed or it's valueless. What do you do with Tosfos's question? So he thinks there's a distinction between what if the preemptive potential mazik ultimately actually is the cause of the nezek. Right? When it actually causes the nezek, then it precludes somebody else from being liable. Right? But their causation is just the maidservant of Mana Tavira Tavar. You see that? Yes or no? Or...
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Cole, you had a point?
The Chazanish's distinction at the end there was scholastic to the point of kikayun. I have no idea what it means to ground.
I mean, you have no idea what would ground that distinction. Does anybody understand the Chazanish's distinction?
No.
Does anybody want to take a stab at Yakir?
I speak for the basis of the shir.
Yeah. Yakir, do you understand this Chazanish's point on top here? Anybody get the Chazanish's point on top? No? Zelter, you get the Chazanish's point on top? First half? No?
We didn't see it before coming in.
Yeah. He's making a very simple point, right? He's just saying that, you see, the Ketzos thinks that the reason for the Ptura Sheni in our Suga is because of Mana Tvira Tavar. Mm-hmm. He points out this is inconsistent with Tosis's view. And so some Achronim get off the boat and say our Suga is not a Mana Tvira Tavar. The Chazanish says our Suga is a Mana Tvira Tavar, but
Tosus's objection that mana tiratavar does not apply to chitzim is not applicable in our case. Why? Because in our case, the chetz actually causes the nezek. And when the chetz is the cause of the nezek, then we'll say mana tiratavar. That's the Chaznish's point.
And the chetz?
So when the first chetz is actually the cause of the nezek, then
like
actually strikes the thing, then the second person can't be held liable because he acted on a mana tvira. That's the Chaznish's argument.
I thought the point of mana tvira was that the second person, was that the first person doesn't get a chance to break it because the second person breaks.
The point of mana tvira tavar is that the second person can't be held liable because the first person already broke it. But Tosos has the point that we don't apply that principle to a case where there's a chetz threatening the object and then somebody else comes along and destroys it. Right? Does anybody get this Chaznish or no? Yeah, Selter, you got to know?
I remember that distinction of Tosos. I don't have so much sympathy for it, but I understand it. But no, I was asking about this line about the shore. That like,
yeah.
Right,
so what do you think the Chaznish is getting out of this line?
In which line?
The last line. So he's trying to say that if this principle is true, then mana tiratavar applies when, let's say, the chetz actually causes the nezek. So then... the second guy who digs the bore, the guy who's mashlim le'estrim, should be totally punter because his bore acted on a shore which is already dead. That's kimana tvira tavar.
Okay.
So then he tries to answer that. Somebody see what his answer is? What's the answer?
It's like we can't apply... labeling a shore as mana tvira just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. He thinks it's not sensible to think that the relationship between a shore and a boar is one of mana tvira tavar. Right? Whereas a kli that's falling or even an arrow that's like threatening a specific object, those cases are sensibly mana tvira tavar. So it's not clear 100% what this distinction is getting at, but what do you think the best explanation is?
The best explanation is that the hole, right, the 30-foot hole or whatever it is, acts as one thing, right? The ox doesn't... It's sort of weird to say, like, the ox is now falling through your hole, and now it's falling through my hole, and now it's falling through Johnny's hole, when it's just one big hole. And really the correct way to describe it is, you know, we each contributed 10 feet of the same hole.
Right. So just to point out, if that's the reading of the Chaznish, it's the opposite of what Rav Shimon Shkup was saying. Because Rav Shimon Shkup's whole point was that each person contributes to the nezek of the shore, one to the falling and one to the actual impact. Right? Where does Cole get this from in the Chaznish? I think maybe he's saying that ancient Turkoman of Fear Boro Shil Zek. Maybe it's like there's no one part of the boar that can make it come out of Tvira. It's a very generous, very liberal reading of the actual words of the Chaznish.
A liberal reader or a liberal rabbi.
Right? I think more likely than that is just that it gets back to the point that Liad was making at the beginning, that there's a difference between like a shore can wander into any of these boros. And the fact that there's something inexorable or inevitable about the way chetz is targeting a certain animal, or the way kli is falling through the sky, right?
Once the second tortizer intervenes,
Exactly.
So it's
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Meaning.
It's the last, but it's not the same.
Right. No, I think there is a distinction to be drawn, right?
I think that's somewhat
intuitive. Yes.
Isn't this distinction a little bit counterintuitive? Because then we spend a long time like talking about how a bore is like defined as being like
the hazard.
The hazard itself, in which case like it shouldn't make a difference whether it ran or waters in as opposed to like other physiquin, even like H, where it's less about the hazard itself.
Yeah.
It might be, but it's less hazard, it's more of like it's actually causing it.
Yes, but still you might say it's a hazard, but it's still a passive one. Right, it's not like the.
Yeah, but once you create.
It's not like the boar like targets certain animals.
But once you create the hazard, you assume then that like anything is defined as like minor the power.
Right, with respect to this boar, right?
Yeah, if it actually falls in. Like if you have such an expansive view of minor power in general, like you should say anything by boar.
Yeah,
as well.
It's possible, like, but he's trying to finesse the sugya, right? He's stuck. Once you say minor tvira tavar applies when it actually causes the nezek, then how do you explain the boar yud, boar klaf, boar lamid? And his answer is, oh, no, the whole principle of monotheria tavar doesn't sensibly apply to the boar case. Okay. Let me just find out one last formulation here. So Shmuel and Simon Yud, I think has a formulation that's very close to Shimon's formulation that talks about causation. So he says, near lochiach mehemshe chasugi dehadu parachin and mai kaavid ein akavana demana tvira tavar. So against the Chazanish and the Ketzos is reading ela develav hachi nami miftar umishum devachi haigavna ein lo din mazik. Right, so there's a difference between this idea of mana tvira tavar and this idea that you are not the mazik, which I take to be that you're not the cause of the actual nezek. So Isaac, I think this is the clearest formulation, along with the Shimon, that there's a distinction between the idea of mana tvira tavar and who's considered to be the mazik of the kli. And then again, he says over here, uvepshuto have a base pturim chalukim de mana tvira hu mitzad hakli shehu kishavur aval aptur de maika avin hu mitzad shechaser b'din mazik kivan shekvar haya maisa hamazik. The idea is that one's a p'tur in that the kli is already destroyed, and one's a p'tur in that the maisa mazik was already in place. So that blocks me from being considered to be the mazik. So I think it's most simply just interpreted as that there already is a cause, and once there's one sufficient cause, I can later be also considered to be a cause. Okay? I just want to point out that it's not so obvious to relate this to causation, because you still might say, so suppose this is something that here was I'm getting at. So I'll say maybe there are three principles. There's one principle of mana tvira tavar, which is that the kli which I broke is valueless. There's a second principle of whether there's a sufficient mazik in place. But you might say, even if there's a sufficient mazik in place, it's an empirical question about which mazik actually caused the nezek. Right? So, you could trace the causation, right? So there's like a little die or something which shows you whose action actually got to the house or whose fire got to the house. And you might say that the last thing is really what's critical. But what he seems to be saying is that you can't be liable simply because there's a maisa mazik that's already in place, even if in fact you turned out to be the cause. Right? So my point is that it's perfectly consistent for you to end up being the cause of the nezek while there being a maisa mazik which was sufficient to cause the nezek that's already in place. So the question then is, why should we take a principle of this, of a maisa mazik being in place, rather than whose actions actually caused the kli to break? Why should we choose one over the other?
Are we sure that he doesn't agree on that? Are we sure that he believes that he's not just talking about a case where the person who caused the nezek is also the person who created the maisa mazik?
So here he's talking about the Chamish Shiyashu L'Asafsol case. And he says, he's saying, since the first people sat, that was sufficient to create the conditions such that the bench will break later. So we can no longer apply a din mazik to the sheni, even though physically the sheni sat down and contributed to the actual breaking. So what do you think, why would there be a reason to disregard actual causation and be mechayev somebody for being the first, for creating the Maisa Mazik? Yoni.
Not a philosophy major.
Okay.
But maybe there's a sense of like there being like an ultimate cause to go down the line, and therefore like if it, nothing had been started.
What do you say, Cole?
He's missing a lot of Jewish books, if you think of that.
That's
a lot of Jewish books that believe their words.
Sounds a lot like other Sharon.
So I'll tell you what I think. Yeah, so.
I was even saying something wrong.
Well, you might say, I guess you might be saying that there's maybe just the cause is the first, like the first person who sets the sufficient conditions, he's the mazik, right? He's the, that's what it means to be the cause. It's like we don't care about physical causation, we care about this kind of logical causation or something, which is that your actions were sufficient to do it, and therefore the first person to do that is considered to be the cause of the nezek. Cole, is that acceptable? Yeah.
I'm comfortable for him not to agree.
I'll tell you what I think is a better answer. Anybody else have a different answer?
So, because it seemed, when I first read it, I wasn't sure whether it was like what Ellie was talking about, like my about causation, or maybe it was just like a simple, like, chesed gavra. Like, it's not necessarily about, you know, what caused it, but is the object being broken, or is it the person, who am I supposed to? I wasn't sure. I mean, I think reading the line, you could read it either way, but that might get rid of your question.
So what do you mean by the chafta versus gavra distinction?
Because,
so he's saying
if you read, like, the Mamatavra, who means sa'at ha'kli shehu kishim, shavra, patra demai, ha'avit, who means sa'at shechasim v'din mazik. It's not, we don't focus on the causation, per se, but what's happening.
Well, I think this is the other principle of manatvir tavar, of the kliyik shavar. And then I'm saying, within this idea about when there's a maisa mazik, you might wonder, who cares whether there's a maisa hezik, right? Shouldn't we care about who actually, whose action caused it to break, right? Why should the fact that there's a maisa mazik, which is sufficient to cause the damage, why is that relevant, right? So, obviously on the manatvira tavar things, it makes a lot of sense, right? Because the reason why I can't be unliable is because I didn't destroy anything of value. But once you get into this other idea of the maisa mazik, so it just begs the question, why shouldn't the actual mazik be held liable? Or why is it inconsistent to have an actual mazik with there being a prior maisa mazik? So Leah, do you have an answer to that question? You could say no. Isaac, do you have an answer to that question? You hear the question? Yeah?
I have a question about the question.
You have a question about the question?
What do you mean by the actual mazik? I mean, we're still in the middle of the sugya. How can you say the actual mazik? The actual mazik is what I'm tired. No?
So, maybe that's the answer, yes. But then reformulate my question to be, why can't the actual mazik be the guy who's wood or whose weight or whose whose wood or whose weight actually contributed or caused a specific nezek to happen?
meaning the guy who put it over the edge.
Right.
So why do we not call him?
Or the guy whose fumes actually got to the house first, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm like stuck on this, but I'm like reading it. It seems like, I'm not sure I still agree with you that he thinks that like the, he's adding much. Like I think it, for him it's like the Mycenezic happens with the first guy, and the second guy is not adding, and not just not adding.
Like physically,
he's
not
adding.
He's not doing
no,
anything.
He's meeting the Hezek, he must be dead. Right, in the middle. He says like, you really didn't add any Hezek with his action.
The smart?
Yeah.
But I think that's a result of the city. Give him, saying that gives later people. Why should later people, why can't
But he means this in the philosophical sense, that the first person's Misa was sufficient to create the same results created by the second guy's Misa. Right? Meaning, so relative to what would have happened by the first guy's Misa, the second guy's Misa contributed nothing. But why is that the right standard? Yeah, here, you must have an answer for us. No?
What do you say? What do you say? I must have an answer.
It's Chazaka.
The first guy was the first guy to breach duty.
Ah. That's what I was thinking, Cole. Say it again so everyone could hear you.
The first guy was the first guy to breach duty. And we know from other sukkahs that...
Yeah. Yeah, so that's exactly what I was thinking. I think that's right.
But we're on the same page.
Yeah. Maybe we both spend too much time not reading enough of the Yoni's books.
Yeah. I didn't write that.
We need to spend more time outside the base menu.
I'm putting it on mute. I think that's right, and it's consistent with a lot of the analysis we've seen until now, that the relevant kind of causation that we need for Nezikin is the kind that breaches your duty. And what it means to breach a duty here is that I can't breach my duty to you if that duty has already been breached. Meaning, so if there's already a Maisa Nezek, so then whatever duties are owed with respect to this Devar HaNizak are already breached, and there's no such thing as overdetermined breach with respect to the same Devar HaNizak. So, maybe there's no wrongdoing by the second guy, and that's why he's not considered to be the relevant kind of cause with respect to Nezikin.
By the way, I should say, I think that I would just add that I do think that the second guy has violated a first person, so maybe I should adjust what I said about an hour ago. He's violated a first-person obligation not to be over the Isser Lahazik, even though he hasn't reached the Sea of Shmira, which he owes to the other guy's property.
Well, I think it's an interesting question. I'm not sure if there's a... I wouldn't think that there's an Isser in this case at all. If
you don't think the Isser is first-person?
What?
You don't think the Isser is first-person?
What do you mean by first-person?
I think the Isser is you're not allowed to be hostile towards other people's stuff. Whereas I think what you just said about the Chiyuv Shmira being, the Chiyuv Shmira is located in the stuff.
Yeah, let's hold off on the, I see, you're trying to distinguish maybe between the Isser and the breach of duty, right?
Yeah,
Which one? Your distinction? Yeah, I think it is sensible. But let's hold off on it for a second. But somebody had questions on the approach. So you see my approach to this. My approach to this is to say that all this talk here is not really talk about causation in some physical sense, but it's about causation in this moral sense. And to, you might say, a necessary condition of being the moral cause of Nezek is that you breached your duty to the Misa. And what precludes your breaching your duty is that there already is a Maisa Mazik. That thing is already breached by somebody else. And so there's no more room left for you to breach your duty in that case. That's my explanation for why we're shifting our focus away from the actual cause to this idea that if somebody did an action that was sufficient to cause the Nezek, there's no room left for somebody else to breach their duty.
at least just from like the last study that we did with Shear by Thor, first having a first creature doesn't preclude anyone else also being Chayiv. Like this we're trying to say is going to cause a tour for the second guy. So, but like in the case of like the Shushkin, and we have the first creature still is going to be Chayiv, but also with the second.
It does preclude it if the degree to which they breach duty is sufficient to cause the damage.
Right.
But
so the Boar case is different because...
Why?
Because it's not clear that the... So there it's about how we assign the duties in the first place, you might say.
Yeah.
Right? In the Boar case. How do we assign the Chiyuv Shmir between two Shutvin?
Yeah, okay.
Here it's a very special case where... one person's actions are sufficient to cause the nezek, right? And so that already is a breach of duty. And so it's not clear that you could have a breach of duty after that, right?
Okay, well, I don't see that distinction so much. Like, why does Shutvin matter?
Why does Shutvin matter?
Yeah, like if we have a first breacher in
yeah.
this case.
So I think that is the answer. But first of all, I think that is kind of what the Rambam's getting at about the first breacher.
Yeah.
Except that the...
But the second guy is also Chayiv, right?
In the Rambam's case? No, the Rambam's point was that only the first guy is
Chayiv. Oh, the first... Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
so the Rambam's idea works out very nicely. But the other Rishonim had different readings of that.
Yeah,
case.
But they weren't talking about first preachers, so they weren't...
Right.
Yeah, so that would work.
So the Rambam actually does work out very nicely.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
once the first guy already breaches duty, then there's no room for the second guy to also be held liable. Yakir.
So, at the end of the paragraph, he was Tosfos' case... He limits this entire principle of the Ptur of Kibbutz Parhaim Ma'asan Mazik to cases where both Maziks were both Maziks actually realized. Meaning both Ma'asan Mazik actually did cause Hezek in the end in some actual or physical sense. And that's a Tosfos case because the first mazik didn't actually do anything. So how would you make sense of that limitation within this explanation of the breach of duty?
So where are you in this?
Just make the Tosfos case in the paragraph
here.
Yeah, Ladami Zara thinks a lot. We.
The law had given Shabbat Hashem Yichad. It doesn't reach on the Shabbat. Rav Hashem Yichad. He actually destroyed it.
Right, and so the Zayi Shulter Rock and Pashat Blidon Tzviro, meaning his second principle just has no application in such cases where there's only one Shabar Lo Asof.
Yeah.
The only principle that has any application there is Blidon Tzviro.
This is a way, it's very clear you need some substantial breach of duty, right? So the mere fact that I was poshea with respect to you is not sufficient to cover somebody else who's also poshea, right? There has to be something more egregious about the pshia of the mazik, of the first actor. One of those is that his nezek is sufficient to actually cause the harm, and you might say a more stringent condition is that there's some realization of that initial breach as well. So yes, even though the second guy was a shutaf, his shutfus is blocked by the breach of duty of the first guy.
But in order for the first guy's breach to be sufficiently egregious or sufficiently material to block a second person from being a shidduch in the nezek, it has to have some sort of tzira for the actual nezek as well. That's the simplest way of answering.
Okay, meaning it's not that he's limiting the principle to this case, it's just that the principle factually doesn't apply because the original breach duty is not egregious enough.
Correct. It has to have has to be fleshed out in a significant way. But once it's sufficiently material such that it's involved in the nezek in some way, it blocks the second guy from having breached his duty at all. Right, that's that.
I mean, maybe I'm a little bit touching on this. Maybe I'm still a little bit bothered by the fact that whether or not the second guy has a duty is only determined retroactively by
whether the first guy's nezek got to the result. I think even if you want to, the most intuitive way of addressing that is to say, well, there's always the possibility that the first guy's mazik wouldn't have created the nezek at all. So we need some sort of assurance that his nezek was actually going to be a mazik. And so the assurance is that it actually gets there.
That's true in my spirit color also.
Well?
That's true in actually throwing the payoff proof.
So look at Kachel.
Always some chance that crazy wind could come and blow it back on top of the roof.
That's okay, because Mother Tzvira is a separate...
Right, they're different principles.
Mother Tzvira is a separate principle from Karayi.
Right.
We will need this assurance to apply.
Meaning how we evaluate the kli is determined differently from.
There was a puzzle that a crazy rainstorm was going to blow on every single twig except for the one that the other guy added.
Thank you.
And therefore what?
Therefore, it's not.
Not
sure if the other guy's fire.
Until it's actually destroyed, you don't know.
I'm not sure that's the right way to individuate fires. And again, I'm not sure. So that for him, it's just that his fire had to have gotten there, right? That's the only standard that has to be satisfied. It's not just Reb Shmuel; it's also Reb Shimon Shkab. He had the same formulation about being oseh the mazik, right? He didn't have this idea that the only the first guy's nezek caused the harm. It's still defined in terms of these oseh mazik ideas. Any other comments on this, Leah?
I don't get it. I especially because we keep talking in terms of like breach and duty, and I don't understand why the definition of duty and breach is a liability should be contingent for the second guy or the first guy, much less why there shouldn't be room for multiple people to have a duty to be breached.
Yeah.
Like, who cares that the first guy, whether the first guy's petition is because it doesn't matter. Like, if you want to say we're talking that we're appealing to some sort of concept, it doesn't have to do with duties, rights, or breaching of those duties. Like, maybe, I don't know what that would be. But especially because we're formulating in terms of like, well, a breach of rights, your rights and the way I violate your rights has nothing to do with like what your peer does to you.
Interesting question. So, my sense is that it does, right? I mean, the idea is that, say for example, if your object is already destroyed, then you don't have the same kind of rights with respect to it anymore. Right?
Why? That's not intuitive to me at all.
Meaning you're saying there's nothing about
if it's my thing, and someone else destroys it, you still don't have the right to do with the now destroyed thing, what you want. Still mine.
I mean the right is still yours or
the thing is still mine and therefore I still have a right to determine how it's treated by others.
So think of it this way, right? So a person is protected from being exposed to a certain degree of risk.
Okay.
Right? That's the right that he has. But once he's already exposed to that degree of risk, so the second person's nezek doesn't breach his duty any further. Doesn't breach that right any further, right? You're already exposed to that degree of risk, so your right not to be exposed to it is no longer meaningful.
That's just like a very specific understanding of what are the rights apply. It's assuming that at the end of the day, it's just a question of what risk do you have a right to be protected from? And not like a question of like, you know, what rights do you have to determine the fair usage of your own objects or what rights do you
no,
have?
No, so what's happened, so you do, you have a right to be shielded from a certain degree of risk with respect to the use of all your objects.
But
in this case, there is a Mazik out there who's already, he's already like prohibited your use of them, right? He's already exposed you to the degree of risk which is prohibited. And now somebody else comes and piggybacks on that first risk exposure and just does the same thing.
Okay, maybe I'm asking more on the level of the Isser than on the Fiat-Tashlumin.
Yeah, so that's Cole's, that's Cole's distinction. I think it's very applicable, right? That maybe there's a sense in which the Isser is... My Isser to Mazik survives whatever breaches of your rights already out there.
That's not at all what's being said here. I mean, that would be, like, cool. I think that would explain it pretty well.
The Isser or the...
The distinction. If you want to say, oh, well... The chiyuv tashlumin is a factor of the risk you expose someone to. And
that's the explanation that I'm offering, right?
No, but the distinction between the Isser and chiyuv tashlumin is not present here.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think anybody's really... The Gemara doesn't talk about Isser. Right? The Gemara just talks about mana tvira top. The Gemara just talks about ma'ar b'chavila, are you pater, are you chayiv? And so you might say that the question of Isser doesn't arise in the sugya because it's not interpretably... It's not important for interpreting the Gemara. But I think you're right. Conceptually, it is an open question whether there's an Isser in place, and it seems like you and Cole both want to argue that it makes sense for the Isser to remain. But you're on board for my explanation that the reason why this is the right kind of causation is because maybe Tashlumin Azikin comes from the breach of duty, let's call it this kind of risk exposure. And then the second guy, the real risk exposure was created by the first guy, and the second guy could hide behind the actions of the first.
Sorry, just like one sentence. Why should the Tashlumin depend upon this exposure?
Because that's where you violate the person's rights, right? So I violate your rights by breaching my duty to you and exposing you.
There's all kinds of rights that you can be violating in all kinds of ways. Specifically, the right that you're violating here is his right not to expose the risk. There's other
that's what's going on in the sugya, though, right? I mean, the first person's actions create fire, which exposes
the second
them.
Person also violates some rights. He doesn't violate the right to not be exposed to risk with his whole objects, but he violates the right to not have his broken objects be beaten up further.
But, right, but no one's claiming that the second guy's actions are going to cause greater nezek than the first guy's actions. I think the assumption here is that the second person's actions are going to create the exact kind of harm that would have been created by the first person's. Right? I think that was like the broken record example that we had at the very beginning of the Chaburah. So that's the suggestion. Okay, so I wanna follow up next on Wednesday with this idea about the breach of duty. In this case of Marav HaKavila according to the Rambam, that both people pay in the case of something. So I wanna connect that this discussion that we had today. Okay, but let me know if you have aros about this idea over here.